10 years ago, the largest immigration raid at a single site in the U.S. took place in the city of Postville, Iowa. The economy of Postville, which has a population of around 2,100 people, was and is largely based around a meat processing plant there, then called agriprocessors. Many of the workers at that plant were undocumented. So what did that raid do to Postville? That's the subject of a new Univision documentary called America First, The Legacy of an Immigration Raid. And joining us now is Almudena Toral, who produced the film. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you so much for having me.
And first of all, just set the scene for us. What is Postville like?
It's a tiny town, 2,000 people, more or less. It was founded in 1843 by German immigrants. It's an agricultural town in the middle of Iowa with a meatpacking plant that's the main employer in the town. It's a peaceful rolling hills corn town, a lot of very cold in winter.
And the raid that you focus on at the meatpacking plant happened in May of 2008. This is during the Bush administration. What happened?
So it's a normal day in Postville, Iowa, when around 10 a.m. people described that they were hearing helicopters. Kids in school, people at their jobs, they were hearing helicopters rounding up the town. This is very unusual for such a tiny town. And then about 1,000 ICE agents descended on agriprocessors, the meatpacking plant in this town, and what started was the biggest immigration raid in U.S. history. 389 immigrants were detained, of which 287 ended up being deported, mostly to Guatemala.
And the other 100 or so, what happened to them?
Some of them, mostly women who had small children and nobody else who could take care of them, were able to stay and stay free, return to their families with ankle monitors. So they had to be monitored regularly. They couldn't work, but they were able to stay. And some of them were able to legalize their status eventually.
Why were there so many undocumented immigrant workers in this particular plant?
This particular plant was very controversial. There were a lot of issues going on at this plant, not only immigration related. The president of the company, Shalom Rubashkin, who is an Orthodox Jew from New York, had a lot of financial dealings going on. He ended up serving time in prison for 86 counts of financial fraud. But he didn't end up serving time for the immigration violations. There were minors that were working at the plant. There were sexual abuse cases that were documented. There was a lot of things going on at the plant that were just not right.
Mm. And so you focus in the documentary about the impacts of this raid on the town. What were the biggest ones?
The demographic impact was huge. The town lost almost half of its population after the raid. It was also devastating economically. The plant that was the main economic motor of the town went bankrupt and later reopened under a foreign owner. Many workers didn't get paid for months and eventually lost their jobs. A lot of local businesses closed down. The whole county, not only the town, suffered. Immigrants and non-immigrants alike. That's what we heard during our reporting for months.
One of the interesting things, though, is that even though this town has so many immigrants in it, some of the people there really do believe that they should be sent back to the countries that they came from. This is a young man that you talked to named Drew Lubka, whose sister is dating a DACA recipient, and he had this to say.
We need to make sure people are here only if they're supposed to be here. I'm not saying that all these people are bad. There's a lot of good ones, but as a whole, I feel their community is negatively affecting our town. They just kind of keep to themselves, and they're not integrating well.
Is that a common conception there?
Well, in this town has a high percentage of immigrants, but still the county where it's located at voted majority for Trump, over 58% for Trump. And it wasn't unusual. We met a lot of Trump supporters. The interesting thing is that a lot of them voted for Trump on a one-issue basis. So some of the ones that lived in Postville were pro-immigration, but, for example, the economics and jobs was a huge issue for them, so they voted for him that way. Or national security, some of the Jewish people. So, yes, it's common that that clash happens there all the time.
There's one girl that you focus on in this film whose father gets deported in this raid. But she ends up staying in the U.S. And you see her at the dentist's office and her parents are nowhere nearby. I mean, what about the kids who ended up there by themselves without their parents after a raid like this? Maybe the kids who were even born in the U.S., they're U.S. citizens.
That was, personally for me, was the most heartbreaking effect to see, the effect on children who leave the raid, whose parents got deported or even didn't get deported, but they managed to stay with long-term consequences, immigration-wise and with legal consequences. The effect on kids is dramatic. There's been studies in Postville about low fertility rates afterwards and the psychological impact it had on children. In this case, the girl that we profiled, her name is Heidi. She is the only one in her family that was born in the U.S. Her family is from Guatemala. Her dad was arrested and put in prison for 6 months and later deported during the Postville raid. Her mom, also undocumented, wasn't at the meatpacking plan, but got really, really scared and ended up going back to Guatemala with the other, with the girls, with the daughters. And the difference is striking. Heidi's sisters in Guatemala don't even go to school. One of them is 5 years old, the other one is 15, and the other one is 16. So she has the whole pressure of sustaining her family in the future. There's a lot of hopes put on her, but it's also extremely difficult psychologically for her. She even mentions at some point in the documentary, I don't even have anybody to give me hugs.
Right.
And to see that girl just going through life in the United States by herself was really heartbreaking.
What about the company? What happened to the company? It's filed for bankruptcy. Somebody else had to take it over. What happened to the owner who employed all those people?
The owner who employed all those people, Shalom Rubashkin, went to prison. He was sentenced to 27 years in prison for 86 counts of financial fraud, not related to the immigration violations. Although in December of last year, Donald Trump condoned his sentence and he was set free. The current owner is Canadian. He's not American. And the plant reopened after a little while. They really struggled to find workers. They brought workers from the most unexpected places all over the country, rehab centers, homeless shelters. They even brought Pacific Islanders from Palau. And none of it worked. They didn't end up staying. It's dangerous and hard work. So at the end, hundreds of Somali refugees ended up arriving in Postville, Iowa, and filled those jobs, that void that was left by the deported workers.
Now, this raid, as we said, happened during the Bush administration, but you are releasing this documentary during the Trump administration, at a time when he and his administration have gotten very tough on illegal immigration. Are raids like this happening with regularity now?
Yes, it's very interesting and very timely because Donald Trump has increased massive worksite raids again. After the Postville raid under the Bush administration, there was only one big immigration raid at a worksite that had already been planned. So Bush executed it. But after that, the outrage, the public outrage about these raids and the efficiency of it was so loud that they stopped doing them. So there's been raids, of course, at homes and other places, but not on work sites at this scale. Until now, with the Donald Trump administration, we've seen over the last few months several massive work site raids, just like the one in Postville, in Ohio, in Tennessee. And I think we'll expect to be seeing more of them.
And what message do you want people who watch your documentary to take away about those raids?
I would like to think about, and I think these documentary can really shed light on the efficiency of these worksite enforcement operations. When we think about, are they really efficient? This raid in 2008 cost over $5 million that came out of taxpayer pockets. And what did it achieve? Those jobs did not go back to Americans. They went to Somali refugees. Some of the people that were deported ended up coming back. It caused a lot of distraught to children and to the economy of that town and the county in general. When you look at the overall efficiency of what the raid accomplished, one really questions, was it really worth it? So I think some of those lessons can be really applied to what's been happening now, and hopefully raises some an intelligent conversation about if it's worth the cost of these massive worksite operations.
That's Almudena Torral of Univision on her new documentary, America First. We'll have a link on our website. Almudena, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.